You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Turn up the volume. We're crossing live to the sports desk. What's fresh? What's making waves? Let's find out.
It is 11:23 and it's time to head across to Louis Herman Watt for the second last time on the sports desk. And Louis, you've got live sport updates for us from football and cricket.
Well, I've also just got some mail come through that apparently you just run it through your multis responsibly today because it's a horse race and you never know. Imperial Force Race 1 at Kenzo. It's short, but it could be your anchor. J-Mac, Chris Waller, well-bred, schnitzel colt. That's just a throwback to loveracing.nz, but the sports desk, this is important, Smithy. The All Whites have drawn, no, lost, against Tunisia, but on penalty shootout. So nil all draw, very poor penalty shootout, says Michael Burgess, who follows football closely for the Herald. Shouldn't overshadow a good performance. He said, I didn't watch the game because I couldn't find it. Mostly outplayed world number 41, Tunisia. Three great chances, including a penalty, and showed again that they belong at a higher level, need a cutting edge, but at least creating opportunities. So that's Mike Burgess, who follows the Whites very closely. So I'll take his word for it. So that's promising, but very poor penalty shootout, not promising. So what are you going to do about that?
Look, you just work on them, don't you? You practice and practice and practice until you nail them. Rufa got his, I see. Costa Barbarousis got his. Ben Wayne missed his target to the left, so there you go. Not a good thing. Not a good thing losing a penalty. But I like the idea in friendlies that they do actually have penalty shootouts. I don't mind that because, it's practicing a very important skill and a very important piece of pressure. I like it.
Yeah, that's right, Smithy. Hey, here's the thing. The Plunkett Shield is in the balance. Firebirds need to draw or win. ND need to win. That is my understanding. And we're on day four, so the last day of Plunkett Shield action. I mean, we're late into March, so it's done. It's wrapped up. The domestic season's coming to an end. I understand that the weather's been a bit sketchy, and we kind of need to make sure this game is finished because we want the game to be concluded as it's meant to be. Rain, lunch to be taken at 12 noon is my latest update at nzc.nz. Okay, so the way it sits is Wellington Firebirds lead by 88 runs with 6 wickets remaining. Okay, what would be, translate this for me, Smithy. So ND, if they bowl them out, will have to chase that whatever total is left. Is that right?
That's right. That's exactly right. So running out of time, aren't they?
They've nearly stuffed, to be honest. I mean, they're not, but rain is not helping the scenario. So look, Wellington, no. If it rains for the rest of the day, will be your Plunkett Shield champs.
Well, that's interesting. Wellington, again, Wellington are going well. They won the Plunkett Shield. They're on top. Wellington Phoenix are on top of the A-League, and of course, we all know where the Hurricanes are sitting as well. It is a great time, time to be a Wellington sports fan. And the other one too, how's that going, the other one? It's Otago versus CD. It's meaningless now, really, isn't it? And that's in Napier. Otago are really, really battling there. Louis, I can tell you they are 166 runs still behind, batting second, and only 6 wickets remaining. So at the moment here in Hawke's Bay, plenty of blue sky, so that one will go the distance. And Wellington, we're still waiting for a weather update at the Basin Reserve because the all-important game between New Zealand and England in the women's T20 International, a rejuvenated New Zealand side who have squared the series, and a replenished English side. We'll be interested in that. We'll follow that throughout the afternoon with Mr. McCarty.
Yes. Now, the other big news today is New Zealand Rugby Chair Dame Patsy Reddy has presented the board's governance model to New Zealand Rugby's voting members. So after we had this big report that came out recently, which pretty much essentially put a skewer through the way that rugby is governed in this country and New Zealand rugby is run, they have had to go away and kind of come up with a solution, a new model moving forward. Feedback and views of New Zealand Rugby's voting members has strongly advocated for a process which ensures the board has lived experience of community rugby, te ao Māori, and strong relationships across Māori and Pacifica. So basically, I think the way I understand this after reading Liam Napier in the Herald this morning is that the provincial unions are 95% there, but 5% hung up on the fact that there's going to be a full, I guess, autonomous board, a new board that would come in and oversee the game. They can't quite get their heads around that. Dame Patsy has said that this just has to be the way forward, and she's actually said that she will resign if they can't get this over the line. So the next couple of days, I kind of think this has got to be a special general meeting for this vote to happen. The next few days in New Zealand rugby governance circles, if that's the sort of stuff that gets you going, it's going to be very curious. Personally, I'd probably just prefer if the players played. I don't really care about the governance of the game. I mean, it's a little bit boring, but I suppose that's a bit flippant because actually it's how the game moves forward. And last year we spent so much time agonising over the future of the sport. So I suppose that all starts at the boardroom, and that's just kind of how things are done these days, Smithy. And if you don't have the right practices in place where the decisions are being made, then how could you expect a sport to thrive in the professional era?
Well, this all comes out of the Pilkington report, which was completed at the end of last year. And it basically said the message was the current board and the current structure of New Zealand racing in terms of New Zealand rugby in terms of decision making is not fit for purpose. It's simply not fit for purpose. That was the underlying statement. So changes they believe have to be made. This has been seriously pushed by Rob Nicol, who, of course, is the CEO of the Players Association, which is a very powerful force. Once you create a Players Association and give the players a voice, and Rob Nicol, who's a very powerful administrator, they become very powerful in the whole scheme of things. Now, of course, once the provinces and New Zealand Māori Rugby Board, etc., and as wanted, if they do hand over all those rights of governance, they'll never get them back. They will never get them back. And so I imagine there's quite a lot of nervousness in provincial circles about as this current their current boards are only just caretakers of their particular part in the sport. I mean, you know, they're elected and then they're replaced next year or the year after. So they're only really caretakers. So for this particular set of administrators or board members to actually cede all possibility of governance away from the provinces, it's a hell of a decision. It's a hell of a decision, especially at a time where if they look in their backyards, predominantly a lot of them are struggling for numbers, for finance, for sponsorship, for television coverage now we're here. There's a lot of things that they're just going to hand over for good. So you can understand why people in the provinces are pretty nervous about just signing the dotted line and saying good luck.
Yeah, very well explained, Smithy. That's exactly, I think that's, you've absolutely nailed it. So that'll be curious to watch over the next week. Last one for me, I'm not adverse to having a laugh at my behalf and the Crusaders' behalf. You know what? We can lean into it. We can embrace it. So Alex Chapman's just texted me off air and said, why don't the TAB have a market for how many games the Crusaders will win this season? obviously have none at the moment. Why don't they get a market up? And the TAB boys could probably do this. So I had a look at the games. They've got 9 games left, Smithy. I reckon I've got the over-under about right. They've got 9 games left. They've got the Chiefs, the Waratahs, the Force, the Rebels, the Reds, the Highlanders, the Brumbies, the Blues, Moana Pacifica. 9 games left. I reckon the over-under should be 5.5 wins. What are you taking?
Well, we're thinking in a normal course of events, they'll win 7 of those on their ear. But this is not the normal course of events. I think they struggle against the Blues again. obviously, and the Chiefs is another problem, although Damien McKenzie being out does help their cause somewhat because the Chiefs without Damien are not the same, I don't feel anyway. So that'll be of interest this weekend. 5.5 is a good market. It's a good point, actually, because there will be other upsets along the way. Other sides now look at the Crusaders as having a point of weakness, which they've never been out of view for the last 7 years, particularly sides from Australia who are winning their fair share this season, which is great. So 5.5, I think, is a good market. That's what I'd frame it at what, $1.87 either way?
Yeah, let's get it up. TAB, come on, let's get it up. Why wouldn't we? I will feel obliged to sink my last paycheck into the over responsibly. Shannon's listening.
Yeah.
That's a joke, Smithy. Anyway, text messages, then we could probably carry on. Oh, that's the Sports Desk, guys. Congratulations.